Welcome to the Farmer Letter podcast. In the run-up to the annual meeting of the Alzheimer's Association, this week we are speaking with Michael Irizarry, Deputy Chief Clinical Officer at Eisai US. At the event in July, there will be plenty to discuss, with recent new data from Eli Lilly suggesting its anti-amyloid candidate donanemab is likely to provide healthy competition for Eisai's own Alzheimer's product, lecanemab, marketed in the USA as Leqembi. Much like Lilly, Eisai has been a pioneer in neurology, sticking with its Alzheimer's research even when times were tough and it looked like a clinical breakthrough would never come. That we are now talking about potentially three approved products for early Alzheimer's shows how quickly development has advanced, as both Lilly and Eisai look ahead to the possibility of offering more beneficial subcutaneous treatments in future. In the podcast this week, we will discuss Eisai's upcoming presentations at AAIC and consider what the future might hold for the treatment of Alzheimer's. So perhaps to start with, then, you could provide a brief introduction to yourself and your role at the company.
I'm Michael Irizarry. I'm a neurologist, and I'm Senior Vice President of Clinical Development at the Alzheimer's Disease and Brain Health Unit of Eisai, Incorporated, based in New Jersey.
And looking ahead to AAIC next month, perhaps you could just provide an overview of the data that you'll be presenting at the event, and perhaps also just to pick out any other presentations that you're looking forward to seeing at the conference.
We'll be presenting data on two of our molecules in clinical development. One is lecanemab, the antibody that's directed against the soluble aggregated amyloid beta protein species and plaques. And we have a plenary session where we're discussing the effects of lecanemab on biomarkers of amyloid, tau, and neurodegeneration, showing that lecanemab does impact downstream biomarkers of the pathophysiology of Alzheimer's disease, which is consistent with a disease-modifying effect. We're also presenting lecanemab data regarding modeling of exposure to lecanemab and effect on amyloid lowering and the impact of exposure on the amyloid-related imaging abnormalities, an adverse event that can be seen with amyloid-lowering therapies. We also have in phase one and phase two an antibody directed against the microtubule binding region of the tau antibody. Tau is the protein that forms the neurofibrillary tangles in Alzheimer's disease. And we'll be presenting phase one data, the PK of the molecule, and phase two data in dominantly inherited Alzheimer's disease patients, looking at the effect on biomarkers with that treatment as well. And in terms of the really exciting data that we're looking forward to seeing at AAIC, I think the field is advancing so rapidly with regards to therapeutics and biomarkers. So, of course, we're interested in data from other amyloid-targeting therapies, such as donanemab and gantenerumab. Also, the advances in biomarkers, in particular, blood-based biomarkers we think can eventually become part of the diagnostic pathway and identifying people that may be eligible for amyloid-lowering treatments. And then, of course, understanding any advances in other targets related to Alzheimer's pathophysiology, including neuroinflammation and microglia, as well as other tau-targeting therapies.
Eisai and Biogen have made some real breakthroughs in this area in recent months and years. Just looking at the phase three research that we know about already, perhaps you could say a bit about lecanemab and, you know, what's different if you compare the phase three results that you have for lecanemab with aducanumab. You know, what's really exciting about the phase three results that you have now, and what's the likely sort of impact for that molecule?
By way of background, lecanemab is a monoclonal antibody that was designed to target the most toxic forms of amyloid beta protein, in particular a form called protofibrils, which are large soluble aggregates of amyloid beta protein that are thought to be more neurotoxic. So lecanemab binds to those species over a thousandfold stronger than it binds to single A-beta protein monomers, and about tenfold higher than the fibrils that form amyloid plaques. And in the phase 3 study, lecanemab met all primary and key secondary endpoints in a large population of 1,795 patients with early Alzheimer's disease and confirmed elevated amyloid. And it slowed progression in cognitive and functional outcomes and with corresponding slowing of decline in quality of life measures and caregiver burden measures. Suggesting that treatment can maintain people in earlier stages of Alzheimer's disease. The results were consistent across multiple subgroups and a population that's generalizable to a real-world population with regards to race, ethnicity, comorbidities, and concomitant medications. As we'll be presenting at AAIC, we see impact on downstream biomarkers that's consistent with disease modification. The study also characterized the safety profile of important adverse events that can be seen with lecanemab, infusion-related reactions, and amyloid-related imaging abnormalities. In terms of where this fits in with other antibodies, I think we see across the meta-analysis that the FDA did and also referred to in the advisory committee meeting that we just had, that the greater the reduction in amyloid, in particular reaching levels close to becoming amyloid negative on amyloid PET scans, the faster and the deeper that lowering, the greater the treatment effect. And I think the results that we saw in Clarity AD was consistent with those findings from our phase 2 study and what's been seen with other amyloid antibodies that have demonstrated efficacy.
What can you say about aducanumab as well? Obviously, you know, it was a major breakthrough at the time when we saw this accelerated approval and, you know, this encouraging data, and now you have this what looks like an even more successful, you know, next candidate. You know, I suppose a lot of people will be wondering, you know, what will happen now with aducanumab? Does the data that you have now from lecanemab, can that sort of inform research or the sort of continued development of your earlier molecule? So what does the future look like?
Well, aducanumab is now being fully developed by Biogen, so I can't really speak to the development or the future of aducanumab. I think in general, the amyloid lowering therapies and the results that we've seen have been consistent, as I mentioned before, in that the greater the reduction of the amyloid and the greater the binding to these soluble aggregated species, we believe that that it leads to greater efficacy. All the anti-amyloid antibodies also provide an understanding of how reducing amyloid can impact downstream biomarkers. And also, it's important to understand across the amyloid antibodies the safety profile with regards to amyloid-related imaging abnormalities.
Perhaps we can talk specifically about lecanemab then in terms of future development. And on the regulatory side as well, it looks like you might get full approval in the US. And what are the next sort of steps for clinical development and regulatory, you know, progress for lecanemab?
Lecanemab was approved under the accelerated approval pathway in the United States in January. And we submitted the phase 3 results the same day that we received accelerated approval as the confirmatory study. an FDA advisory committee meeting 2 weeks ago unanimously voted that the phase three studies verified the clinical efficacy of lecanemab. And then the action date for the FDA decision for full traditional approval is July 7th. So we would find out by then whether lecanemab was granted full traditional approval. Lecanemab has also been submitted in Europe, the UK, Japan, Canada, and Australia for approval in those regions as well. In terms of the next steps for lecanemab clinical development, we are developing a subcutaneous formulation that we think will be more user-friendly in terms of administering the drug. So currently, lecanemab is administered at a 10 milligram per kilogram intravenous dose every 2 weeks. The goal for the subcutaneous formulation is to have two injections administered weekly through an auto injector, and that could be administered by either a patient or the caregiver. Other areas that we're also actively evaluating is the idea of maintenance dosing after clearance of amyloid. So after a period of time of every 2 week dosing, whether we can reduce the dosing to monthly and still be able to maintain clinical efficacy and suppress the abnormal biomarkers. Yeah. We're looking at treating, we have clinical trials that are looking at treating people in earlier stages of Alzheimer's disease before they even develop symptoms. We have a collaboration with the Alzheimer's Clinical Trial Consortium for the a study called AHEAD 345 that are looking at people with intermediate or elevated levels of amyloid by PET scan, but who have no symptoms, who are cognitively unimpaired. And we're treating these people for 4 years to see whether we can prevent the onset of clinical symptoms. And then finally, we are testing lecanemab in combination with our tau antibody in dominantly inherited Alzheimer's disease in collaboration with the dominantly inherited Alzheimer's network led from Washington University.
How important is the method of administration? You touched on development of a subcutaneous formulation. I know that there are other candidates from other companies that are also looking at subcutaneous. Could that be a key sort of differentiating factor, you know, in terms of the potential impact in the future?
As I mentioned before, strong and rapid amyloid reduction and reduction of these toxic amyloid species are important for efficacy, and also needs to be balanced in terms of the risk for amyloid-related imaging abnormalities. So the dose of lecanemab, the 10 milligram per kilogram biweekly dose, was optimized from our large dose-ranging phase 2 study as the optimal dose for safety and efficacy. And it's a dose that doesn't require titration. And we also find that consistent dosing is required for a clinical effect. In our phase 2 study, when we stopped treatment at the end of 18 months and then reinitiated treatment on the average of 2 years afterwards, during that 2 year period on average off treatment, there was a gradual reaccumulation of biomarkers and clinical progression. So the dose and the sustained dosing was important for clinical effect and biomarker effect. But as you mentioned, every 2 week dosing can be difficult for patients or caregivers. So it is important to look for more patient-friendly approaches for dosing. And that is the rationale for developing a subcutaneous formulation that could be administered at home by patients and caregivers.
We've seen that other companies, Eli Lilly now has had some breakthrough success targeting amyloid beta. I just wonder what differentiates your approach from theirs, looking forward to a future where perhaps both these products are available.
The amyloid antibodies, the different amyloid antibodies, tend to target different parts of the amyloid beta protein pathway. And so, for instance, lecanemab targets these amyloid beta protein protofibrils. It's not completely clear how the different targets along the pathway can impact the dosing, the safety, or the efficacy. Speaking with regards to the ASI approach that led to clinical success, in drug development, we focus on the four R's, and I think different companies have different versions of this type of philosophy of ensuring that you've selected the right hypothesis, the right study population, the right dose, and the right outcomes. And we believe our success with lecanemab is based on the right hypothesis that targeting this protofibrillar form of A-beta is the most likely to lead to efficacy. In terms of study population, really focusing on an early AD study population with confirmed elevated amyloid, very simple to diagnose with regards to clinical assessment and then an amyloid PET scan or CSF analysis or ultimately blood test analysis to confirm elevated amyloid. And then we studied lecanemab in phase 3 in a broad patient population representative of patients with early AD. The dose, as I mentioned, was optimized by the large dose-ranging phase 2 study. And I think some of the failures in earlier antibody treatments were due to not having the optimized dose. And then finally, ensuring that we have the right outcomes for our clinical trial. Our phase 3 study used the gold standard clinical dementia rating scale, summary of boxes as the cognitive and functional outcome. And then also we looked at a range of other outcomes of function, quality of life, and caregiver burden, where we found efficacy of lecanemab. So I think putting it all together, really ensuring a robust and focused clinical development program that focuses on these four R's and ensuring the highest probability of success.
Just looking at the breakthroughs that we've had at the moment, there's been some success now in treating people with early Alzheimer's. I just wonder, how can we get to a situation where we can treat people who are diagnosed later in the course of the disease?
With progression of Alzheimer's disease, there's growing neuronal and synaptic loss, which with current approaches are really difficult to reverse. So I think that the field has been moving to treating earlier and earlier before there's significant neuronal and synaptic loss. Even in the early AD phase with these amyloid treatments, there's still clinical progression, which indicates that there are other pathophysiological processes that are still ongoing, including the tau tangle formation and the neurodegeneration. So the approach now is to consider combination treatments to target different parts of the pathophysiological pathway to have a greater impact in the symptomatic or even later stages of Alzheimer's disease. And then conversely, moving earlier in the disease process where there's already a gradual abnormality in the biomarkers, so for instance, elevated amyloid without symptoms, and trying to target at that stage of the disease before there's significant irreversible nerve cell loss.
Just in terms of maximizing the impact when you're treating early Alzheimer's, you talked about the importance of biomarkers. How can we really make sure that we're capturing, you know, everybody that has early Alzheimer's, You know, how does this speak to the way that sort of doctors interact with their patients, and, you know, what's available for patients or people with early Alzheimer's to actually get a diagnosis and get treatment?
Currently, the Alzheimer's, it actually tends to be diagnosed later in the course of disease. Patients may minimize symptoms. Physicians may attribute symptoms to aging. So it's critical to change the thinking and to move the focus onto brain health. Understand that if there are early changes, in particular in learning new things, that people should see their physicians. For physicians to also understand how to detect or ask the appropriate questions to understand whether people are seeing a cognitive decline, and then understanding what sort of cognitive testing to perform, and then if there is an abnormality, what sort of diagnostic testing to perform to identify what's the cause of the cognitive decline. And this may also include cognitive screening of patients or of people to understand if there is objective changes over time. So I think this may have to switch from a more reactive and late approach to identifying cognitive decline and Alzheimer's disease to a more proactive approach where we're educating people in terms of what to look for, educating physicians in terms of how to appropriately diagnose and then ultimately manage these patients.
Exciting to see real progress in this field after so many years. I will certainly look forward to your presentations at the AAIC. I think that's about all we have time for today. Michael Irizarry, Deputy Chief Clinical Officer at ACI US, thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Thank you so much.